Welcome, welcome back, everybody, to the 90s Mixtapes. My name is Pat, joined by my lovely co-host, Jen.
Hello.
Jen, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well.
Jen.
Yeah.
We are discussing March movies today, correct?
Yes.
It is April, right?
Yes. Because we are procrastinators.
But that's a big thing, though, about being a 90s kid. I feel like that was the thing. The dog always ate the homework, right?
Yes.
Did our dogs eat the homework? Did they eat the recording? How did we end up here? Do we know?
Kind of, because we were watching one of these movies and one of the dogs snuggled hard on me and made me fall asleep. So we had to watch it again.
It's true. That's, you know, I would actually say that that's really, really true. Right? Also, you know what else I would say? I would say that these are not exactly barn burner of movies, right?
Well, I mean, let's not blame the movies. I would have fallen asleep no matter what you put on.
I'm just saying. I feel like there's certain times and spaces where different, you know, like if it was Jurassic Park or something and we fell asleep, that's one thing. But I mean, I feel like this was a little...
I'm going to tell you, I could absolutely fall asleep to Jurassic Park because I already know what happens. I've seen it so many times.
But we could jump up and do it. Like, I've never seen... So the two movies that we're watching we're going to talk about is we're going to be talking about Four Weddings and a Funeral, and we're going to be talking about The Ref. I've never seen either movie. I saw parts of The Ref once, and I feel like it just didn't hold my attention, which is probably pretty accurate for my age at the time.
Right.
Like, I feel like I saw it in the 90s at some point. It was on, like, an HBO or Stars or something. And it just wasn't my thing. And Four Weddings and a Funeral absolutely is not my thing. It's I can tolerate them now because you like them and because I do this... I really Mystery Science Theater 3000 a lot when it comes to romantic comedies. So that's like a skill set. That's an added layer that I've added into my repertoire as I've gotten older. Because I know that it's not that you... I wouldn't say... How would you feel about romantic comedies, Jen?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I don't even really... I can't even think of that many I've made you watch.
But you make me watch Christmas movies, and I feel like Christmas movies are the romantic comedy without much comedy. Is that fair?
Yes, that's just because I'm ridiculous about Christmas. How do I feel about romantic comedies? I like good ones.
Okay.
Okay, if I'm in the mood to watch a movie and if I'm by myself, like, I could definitely watch a romantic comedy and enjoy it. But I don't need to watch them with you. Because I know you don't like them, and I mean, like, Love Actually is a romantic comedy that I actually, like, really love. Like, there are some I really love, but not all of them. I'm not, like, I wouldn't say it's my favorite genre, but it's definitely, like, it's a guilty pleasure, you know?
Yeah, I would not disagree. I would think that that's probably pretty accurate. And let's use that to roll in. So March, historically, in the movies, it's not going to be a huge, huge, huge month, right? It's not going to be the biggest month of the year. It's not going to be the biggest box office month. It's kind of where some movies maybe mishomed movies, right? Movies that have something a little bit off on them might be released. And so we'll start with the romantic comedy, Four Weddings and a Funeral. The thing that's off on this is
people fucking love this movie.
The thing that's off on it is it's British. That would be the only thing I would say that's off on it.
Well, we're coming from a place of we're in America, right?
Correct.
So I will say that's the only thing that I... So I knew nothing about this movie going in. Like, I literally thought Julia Roberts was in it. Like, I was on another planet about it. And I was pleasantly surprised that it was a British film. And I would say that is my favorite part about it. And the only reason that I would be interested to rewatch it is because I feel like there's this, like, subtle British humor and these little things going on in the background that I probably didn't pick up on the first time because I was very sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the things that I enjoyed about this movie.
Yeah, the main thing for me, or what I really, really liked about this movie, and I did like it up until the third act, right? Which I just... Certain things like that irk me a little bit, but we'll get to that.
The end of Carrie's wedding? Oh, okay, third act. I thought it was the third wedding.
Gotcha. I did like the tone of doing all the different weddings. I thought that was fun just because you kind of kept everybody, like, in that mode. And
how fun was it that they were, like, English weddings, and they had all the, like, because you don't think as an American, the big hats that women wear in England to all these events are just wild. Like, we don't do that here, right? So, like, when, unless maybe, like, Kentucky Derby, right? Like, it's just such a British thing. And I feel like we often think of, like, England as, like, us with a different accent, but it's not. Like, I feel like culturally we're very different, and it's one of those things that you're like, oh yeah, they wear these crazy hats, and I love it.
And I think I also love that it captured their slice of, let's say, 90s quote-unquote youth, right? Because I know we've been watching a lot of movies that
yeah, we... but I really felt like I was watching people that are older than me. Like, this is the problem.
They're not,
like,
that much older. They're like in their 30s. You know what I mean? Like, they're in their 30s. Like, Hugh Grant's character is supposed to be 33, so I assume everybody else is kind of around the same age.
He is legitimately 33, I think.
So it's just funny because it's just kind of like...
Oh, God.
You know, you're just... Old. You're here, and you're looking at it going, okay, like... You know, we had just watched Reality Bites, and here's this slice of, you know, after college-ish people. Mm-hmm. We've watched Singles. We've watched all these American movies.
And this is more like Singles, right? Because wasn't Singles more like 30-somethings?
20-somethings, yeah, because they're selling single apartments. That's the whole point, like Singles, like single, you know, one-bedrooms, so that you're kind of, you know, that's kind of the point, right? Is it's not going to be... You know, it's not going to be people with families.
People
right?
just seem so much more mature and refined with 100%. A British accent, though. It's but they're also just not. Unbelievable because, like, Hugh Grant's character, Charles,
yeah, I think so.
And Scarlett, his roommate, are living in, like, what are they living in, like, one bedroom, like, apartment?
I think they're all living in this, like.
And it's like.
Weird
trash.
Mess of a place.
Yeah. Like, it really feels like when you see that, you're like, oh no, this is youth. Like, this makes me feel like how I lived when I was younger. But then they go to these weddings with these big floppy hats.
Yep.
And I'm like, all of a sudden, we're refined and mature. It's wild.
It's funny.
Yeah, it is
funny. And Hugh Grant's character consistently being laid as a running theme is really good. Just all of it's really good. Jen is showing me. Okay, Durex on the IMDb section.
I have IMDb on for some.
It's probably because you were watching.
I have a condom.
It's probably because we were watching. What was that show? Love is Blind, and we're just aggressively screaming that condoms exist when he's like, ah, we can't practice birth control.
Right, okay.
So the algorithms got us. But
yes.
In terms of kind of movies and in terms of where this kind of sits, I know a lot of people really love this movie. I know this. I think this is like an awards movie darling later on in the year. People really like it. I really liked how it was filmed. I like the idea that you're telling the story of these people in between these moments in their life, right? Like, here's where you see them, but then they're living lives in between, and we know nothing of the lives they're living.
I like that
too. Are they real
too.
Messes in their real
cool.
life, or are they not?
It's kind of
really
like
know.
The Office. Like, you see these people at the office and very rarely outside of the office. Like,
right,
there's
it's
a
actually
few
a good dichotomy.
Scenes,
that's really
right?
great. Yeah,
because there's a few scenes in the office where they're somewhere else. There's a few scenes in this movie where maybe they're not at an actual wedding, but for the most part, it's we reunite at the weddings, right? And this is... or the funeral.
But it's funny though, because I do feel like, especially at this stage in life, like if you have a large extended network of people, that's kind of how it would be. That, like, you know, these are the big moments that you're all taking photographs at, right? And that's kind of what this is, right? Here's all the big photo moments where everybody's dressed up all nice, you're gonna look back and remember it. Whereas, you know, you're not really telling their day-to-day stories, you're not telling their day-to-day struggles. And I think that's the only reason why, me personally, I had such a hard time with where the movie wraps up. I know people might be like, oh, true love, blah, blah, blah. And it is a movie. But I feel like with a romantic comedy or a Christmas movie, if you get involved in the movie and you get involved in the plot, that's a sign that it's a good movie, right? It really is. Like, so I got involved in this. I enjoyed it. I did enjoy what we were watching. I was like, okay. You know, and we watched it. I'm like, it's not really as bad. Like, sometimes British movies, at least with me or British TV, sometimes the accent could be too strong, and I have a hard time following along with what they're saying, but I thought everybody, like, whatever their accents were, you know, obviously they're British, but I was able to understand, like, follow along the dialogue. Sometimes every now and again they'll use slang words that we don't know. So I do feel like this was either on purpose or not sanitized a little bit for, like, a United States audience, right? I didn't have a problem watching it 30 years later. I wasn't like, I can't really understand what they're saying.
No, not at all.
So I thought that part was great. But I just kind of
felt... But it's different enough, right?
That, oh, it's, like, definitely different enough.
Like, the wording of certain things, certain phrases that people in England use are just different than the way we say things.
Well, they're all getting married in a church, except Andy McDowell's character at her wedding. At her wedding, they're getting married in that castle. They're getting married in, like, a castle. And then the reception is right there at the
castle. And her wedding's in Scotland, though.
Okay, there you go.
And you notice there's no hats.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
She married a Scottish guy.
I didn't pay attention to all the hats, but... Yep. I think that was
what
really...
What are you talking about? We just watched Traitors. Why is your brain not in Scottish and Scottish castles?
That's true.
You know?
He was wearing a kilt. Because because that wedding
bagpipes?
I'm still kind of nebulous on how Andy McDowell's character fits in, knowing all of them. You know, I know how all the other people were, but like her character's kind of there at the first wedding. She hooks up with Hugh Grant. Then she meets her fiance afterwards. She's hooked up, I think, with him the second time or whatever the case may be. I don't know if they're giving her necessarily. I think they were trying to give her like the same kind of vibes as Hugh Grant. There was a scene that you missed. I think you had drifted off or you had gone you got to get something to drink. But in the one scene where he's sitting, I think it's the second wedding. He's sitting with like all of his like exes or like three or four of his exes.
Yeah, I wish.
And they're just all like kind of bantering back with him, and that was just to kind of set up the later on the Andy McDowell scene where she's like, oh, I've slept with like 30 something people. Because it was supposed to be like they're both like the you know, promiscuous ones of their group. All right.
He slept with 9 and she slept with 33.
Something like that.
I just don't think a man at 33 who slept with 9 people is necessarily that promiscuous.
No. The scene at the wedding was supposed to be like a joke that we could all, you know, you can relate to, where you're like, this person is the promiscuous friend that sleeps with all the other people in the friend group that you know.
Yeah,
so then it's just awkward for everybody at that wedding table, because that's what it was. He's at the table and each one of the girls is like, they're all making fun of him together because he's like had different relationships with them over the years.
Right.
And so I think that was just to kind of establish him, because then you looked at him differently. You're like, okay, so he's just really like kind of, he's not really into monogamy, let's say, right? Because he's jumping around to different people. Maybe he wants it, but he's not. So then it sets up.
Yeah, he has like commitment issues.
It sets up the Andy McDowell character to come over the top and be like, actually, no, I've done all these things. Whether or not she was being honest or not, we'll never really truly know, because she
did. Why wouldn't she be honest?
Remember the one time she was joking with him in the first morning? Like, I believe she was being honest. I'm not saying she wasn't.
Yeah, I think that was supposed to be a sincere
scene. I think it was just, yeah, but it could also just be like, you know, playing up to his sensibility. It doesn't really matter, because obviously it's kismet. They're supposed to be together, right? They keep meeting each other at these weddings, and they keep sleeping with each other at these weddings.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Except for hers. They don't sleep with each other at her wedding.
It's true. It's true.
Which actually would have been pretty funny.
But like, why he went to her wedding, I don't know. It's just that was the two things that got me.
But he also went wedding dress shopping with her. And I was like, it just seems like a bad idea.
Well, I really think that they made him out to be the super, super, super nice guy. Right? Because that's kind of why he like went. Because it's like, oh yeah, I'll go with you.
Exactly.
Like, they just really roped him into being this like nice.
They don't really know Hugh Grant.
Guy. Well, no, it's not that they don't know Hugh Grant. It's just, I feel like sometimes with these movies, especially in the 90s, they really lean hard into like each character has to fit into like a certain box. So he's like the good guy here and she's like not the bad guy, but she's the one that you're kind of like dubious of, or at least, you know, I am, right? Because you're kind of like, or that's, you're kind of guarded. You're like looking out for Hugh Grant, right? And at least that's how they seem to set it all up. So,
do you know what bothered me about this movie?
What's that?
I feel like it takes place within like a year.
Right. I don't.
Ish, maybe a little longer. Like, these people meet and get married immediately.
Yeah.
I was expecting these to be, like, we thought with the second wedding that it was like a shotgun wedding, that there was going to be a baby.
Right.
Because we're like, these people literally just hooked up at the last wedding and now 3 months later they're getting married. Like, that just seems awfully quick.
I guess. I mean, but
I'm not trying to judge. I'm just saying.
I think they're trying to put it out there that these people are all older and they're really searching for true love. And I think the whole purpose of the movie, or the whole point of the movie, is that they all find it, right? They're all finding it in these different places. And once you know, you know. I think that was kind of the whole point. Which brings me to the end, right? Or, I mean, we're skipping over the funeral, I guess, because that was kind of important too. Because the one, you know, one of the characters obviously was like, he was gay and he was like, hey, I loved him so much and blah, 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 blah. And he kind of like comes out at the funeral.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really nice and that was sweet.
And sad.
And very sad. Obviously very sad. But that brings me kind of like to the end. Like, I know we're kind of glossing over, but it's just like Andy McDowell's character, after being married, I guess she's going through a divorce and a rough patch, he decides that he's going to marry Duckface, right? Hugh Grant's been circling around one of his specific exes, who is very dramatic, overly dramatic. She has an overly dramatic moment at the second wedding, or the first wedding? Second wedding. Then the first wedding, second wedding, they kind of reconcile. Third wedding is when Fiona's like, actually, I love you. And you're like, that's sad, right?
And he doesn't even say, well, maybe I'll give this a shot.
He was holding her hand, and then they came in to get him to go to another room. Like, he was kind of like trying to talk to her or anything, but... and then the fourth wedding is actually his wedding.
He didn't even give Fiona a chance.
He's getting married to her. All of his friends, like, get him up extra early, get him ready to go, get him there on time, because he's been late to every other wedding and late to everything.
To duck face. Yeah.
And, like, he's going through this wedding, and Andie MacDowell's character shows up. Spoiler alerts, everybody.
Carrie.
Oh, okay.
Her name's Caroline.
Carrie Bradshaw. Got it. Carrie Bradshaw. So Carrie Bradshaw shows up. Carrie Bradshaw shows up. And she's basically like, yeah, I'm divorced. Now I'm here. And now he's like, well, can't get married. They use his brother. So he has a brother who is not able to hear. And we're supposed to be led to believe throughout all of these things, which I do not believe, by the way. Okay. So I want to throw that out there. But we are led to believe that throughout all of these events where his brother is consistently there with him and his friends, that nobody knows how to speak to his brother but him, which I don't believe that. I believe.
Really? You think that if you had a friend with a deaf brother, you would instantly learn sign language?
If they were
as
close as they were all there over that amount of time, eventually you'd pick something up. But eventually you'd pick something up.
I don't know if you'd be fluent. It's like a hard language to learn.
But I just feel like you'd pick something up. Right. I just feel like you pick. So there's multiple different scenes where there's multiple different characters together with him. I feel like you pick something up where you would just
been around a lot of Spanish speakers. I can't understand fluent Spanish.
I think that's different. I don't think we're talking the same. Okay.
Okay. Agree to disagree.
Hold on. I want to come to this point though. Okay. If I had a brother that spoke Spanish and that brother was consistently around all of my friends, we would all pick up some sort of conversational something over the course of 30 years.
Sure, but that doesn't mean that you would know everything he's saying. If like the guy's signing at his brother fast, you're not going to be able to pick it all up.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying he knows everything he's saying. What I'm saying is the girl that meets him, the brother, wants to be with the brother. She learns sign language for him within 6 months and starts talking to him at the second wedding. She does. She sees him at the first wedding and is like, oh, okay, I want to hook up with that guy and learn sign language. And then that's how they get together at the very end where they're doing the photo montage. So she does learn sign language.
Well, you would think Duckface would try to learn it at least.
Somebody has got it.
Oh, she's going to marry.
Nobody knows it, which then allows this revelation at the wedding where his brother stands up to, you know, object in the church and then asks Hugh Grant to translate. So he's translating everything back and forth, which is basically like his declaration that he loves someone else. He gets punched in the face so hard that his face looks like he was in a UFC fight. Can we talk about that? Like, he has a huge shiner. Huge shiner.
So if it's my wedding, and if this happened at our wedding, and you were like, sorry, I can't marry you, the actual love of my life has popped up and is now divorced, you would look like you were in a UFC fight too.
Has shown up here to the event. Right. Yeah. Not even like she must have been invited. So I must have invited her to the event.
I think these weddings are just everybody's invited to all the weddings. That's it. Done. No
question. You know, no question about headcounts or anything.
No, but also you don't have to be invited to a church. You could just go to any wedding. Like, you know that, right? You could just go to a church wedding. You could go to a church wedding. It's not like she showed up at the reception.
I understand you could just go to a church wedding.
You actually can.
But that's not really what I'm getting at here. Like, what I'm getting at is
that you shouldn't.
You shouldn't go to that wedding.
If you're the ex and then...
You could have made
a phone call.
Like,
you could have told him, prior to this. Like, hey, things didn't work out with old man McGee and...
Old man McGillicuddy was cheating
Who was only 19 years older than her, because I definitely thought that man was much older than her.
And we're... Right.
19 is still older, but I didn't think he was in his 50s. I thought he was much older than that.
He definitely was in his 50s.
I thought he was in like his 60s.
Hmm. Well, she could have been 39.
I don't know. I'm just wrong.
Point being, she catches him beforehand and goes, "Hey, I'm single," which then causes this whole chain reaction, which is just was a cringe moment, and I felt was just such a rom com trope and rom com thing. You know, oh, my true love is really here, and that's where I really was like, man, I feel bad for Duckface. I feel bad for the family.
I felt bad for Fifi the whole time.
Fifi, but I mean, I guess she gets Prince Charles, so I mean, I don't know.
That's true.
I just felt bad for them, and I was like, man, this is just really like a vibe, and I don't really know what else to say about it, except it's just a vibe, you know, that I wasn't really here for. I don't know how you felt. It took the movie that was going to be like a solid 8 for me and brought it down to like a 5.5. I'm like, this is just the absurdity. Like, so now I need to rewatch this and know, like, obviously you know that they're going to get together because they keep playing that through line throughout the whole movie. Yeah. Especially like the first wedding where they're trying to meet each other and they keep missing. But then it's just like, really? He didn't go to your wedding and spoil your wedding. He couldn't even spoil your wedding because you were like clearly smitten with the old Scottish man. So like, I just don't get it. I don't know. How'd you feel about it?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it just kind of...
I don't know if it makes it go down to a 5.5 for me, but it definitely knocks it down. Like, it just... I could even deal with him ruining his wedding and, like, everything if then, like, it wasn't just this... I'm glad it ended happy. It had to have. It was 1994. It was a rom-com. But, like, I feel like it... I don't know. Yeah.
You know, like...
Yeah, that's weird.
Like, I just... I feel like they learned from that and
like,
said...
I'm just mad at Carrie the whole time. I'm just like, so what? Why you do this? Like, you know what I mean? Like, why don't you just tell him? Why'd you marry this old Scottish guy if you have a thing for this dude who you know is single? Like, everything just felt like he's more age appropriate. Nothing wrong with being with someone that's not your age, but like...
Well, he was rich too. The other guy was rich.
That kind of felt like that's what that was about. Like, as I'm like, is she really like into him? Like, she's into Hugh Grant? I don't really believe that she is. I just... The vibes I got from her were just like, you know...
I did like that a lot of it was kind of playing up Americans, though, because I think that was the whole point. Like, she's this promiscuous American girl from a small town who's then just wrecking all of the English countryside. I did like that. Like, I did like that whole idea, like how they were kind of playing that up. So, like, I enjoyed that, but tough.
Yeah. I
found it to be a tougher watch than I thought it was going to be.
At first was like, I don't want to watch this again, but now maybe I would just to see some of this stuff in the background like that, because there are some funny things that happen. I don't know. I don't need it again, but I wouldn't turn the channel. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, I wouldn't turn the channel. You know, I definitely wouldn't do that. But I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't dislike
it. I'd say it started off strong and then it kind of petered out a little bit.
Which is what these movies usually do. And that's usually how they work for me. If you hook me in the beginning, you know, you're going to get like at least like a 7. And then it just depends on where we... How we end up doing our absurd ending, right? Because it always needs to be an absurd ending. I like that the absurd ending was just continuing the theme of the show. So that's why I didn't, like, put it down to, like, a 3 for me.
Mm-hmm.
And these movies, you know, I like, you know, if we ever can get any of them. I know we did Fire in the Sky and stuff like that. But, like, I love cheap horror movies. And part of why I love cheap horror movies, or horror movies in general, and also sci-fi, is because I like to see people do a lot with a little. This, I would imagine that this movie wasn't filmed for tons and tons and tons of money.
No, I think it had a pretty small budget. You know, they wanted Marissa Tomei for Carrie.
I didn't know that.
But her grandfather was sick. And then it was actually, is it Jeannie Triplehorn?
I don't know.
She was Carrie. She is, hold on. I feel like she was just in something we talked about. Basic Instinct.
But the
lady from Waterworld. Okay.
Okay.
It's supposed to be her, and she actually started filming, but then her mom died, so she left.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because I was going to say... Because
I thought Andie MacDowell, like, I get that... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just... Like, I like her, and I like that she seems like a real person. I like her as an actress, but I just felt like it was a weird match. Like, a weird...
I actually really liked it.
Okay.
Because I felt that it gave... I felt that it grounded out the performance. Like for example, like, Andie MacDowell... was also going to moment in Groundhog Day if we already haven't got there, right?
We did that last year.
Yeah, and like the good, like it's just, I really feel she makes these movies real because I sometimes I feel like they'll take somebody like in the early 2000s, they'll take like a Kate Hudson and then they'll just make her like ethereal, right? They'll make her almost be like angelic and like nice smile and everything's just like, oh, you know, and then lighthearted.
Andie MacDowell has a very nice smile.
No, she does. But the thing is, I think it grounds the movie a little bit
more.
Yeah, yeah. And it has nothing to do with looks. It's just the performance. Like, I look at her and I'm like, you're real, like, you're a person.
No, you're right.
So then I think you make the movie more real. Because all the other characters felt real to me. Right, like Scarlett felt real. Like these other people felt real.
They
didn't feel like, they just didn't feel like.
They didn't feel like Hollywood.
Right, but they also didn't feel
which, in a good way.
They didn't feel like supermodels or something. That you're like, here, we're going to have these people have these, like, what is perceived as, let's say, regular people problems, right? Like finding someone or having a good job or whatever the case may be.
No, you're right.
You know, and I just, even like Julia Roberts to an extent, it just becomes like ethereal.
Well, she's like Hollywood. Yeah.
Right. But also glammed up and just like, you know, people want to be like her. And not that people didn't want to be like Andie MacDowell per se, but yeah. I just feel like it definitely added a level of believability to the film.
No, you're right. I agree.
But I mean,
I take back what I said.
You could tell it wasn't filmed on a huge budget because they keep using the same church scene. Everybody's still wearing the same outfits, you know.
They wear different. The women wear different.
The women would change dresses, silly. But it's like you could film that all pretty quickly. And yeah, so I really enjoyed that aspect of it because I'm like, okay. And I enjoyed the setting and I enjoyed the concept. I really liked the concept of the movie. I just felt that at the end, him going with Andie MacDowell, like, it just have it not be, like, his wedding.
I do like that he asked her to never marry him, and then they just don't get married. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I did too. I did too. So, anything else you want to add on this one? 20-minute deep dive?
No, review, I'll probably think looking. Of something once we're done recording.
That always happens.
Right? Every time.
The next movie we watched, we ended up settling on the movie The Ref. So The Ref,
which I did not know was a Christmas movie.
Backdoor Christmas movie. Takes place on Christmas
Pleasant
Eve.
Pleasant little surprise for me.
I didn't know it was a Christmas movie either. But again, when you're releasing a Christmas movie in March, how would someone know? So The Ref stars...
fair.
I mean, it's very fair. The Ref stars Kevin Spacey.
By the way, the wife in this movie, also Caroline.
Oh, she's Caroline too?
Mm-hmm.
The Ref stars Kevin Spacey.
Dennis Leary. That's the elephant in the room right there, right?
Judy Davis. Yeah. No, I mean, that's definitely the elephant in the room. There's a lot of other people in there.
Christine
as well.
Baranski, who is, if you watch the Bad Mom movies, right? She's also in
The Good Wife or like all those TV shows.
Yep.
You have J.K. Simmons in there as Colonel Siskel.
Yes.
We have B.D. Wong of Jurassic Park dinosaur creating and Law and Order fame. Who's in there as the initial marriage counselor? This movie could only be described as a Christmas movie to me. And I'll tell you why. Because there's always that extra magic around Christmas where you forgive, for example, being held at gunpoint and kidnapped in your own home.
Mm-hmm.
Where you want to help the robber get away. Where part of you getting away involves dressing as Santa Claus. Inept police officers not really doing their jobs because they just want to eat donuts and get home for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Wonderful Life ends up recording over the important footage to show what Dennis Leary actually looks like, right? Because there is what could only be described as like the mousetrap game set up in someone's house, right? So you open up the safe.
I think Kevin McAllister lives at this house.
100%. You open up the safe, and then when you go to take one specific, like, diamond ring, it's connected to a trap door in front of the safe, which will then cause you to slide down a chute to meet a Rottweiler who was only in the basement.
I really feel bad for only this Rottweiler in the basement. That he's a basement Rottweiler.
Well, they must have to put him down there when they leave, knowing full well that, like, it wouldn't make sense to have him, like, not in the basement, right? And once you take that, an alarm starts going off that's blaring robbery, robbery, robbery. Like, and the lights start aggressively flashing. Like, why couldn't you just do that when someone walks in the house? Oh, that's right. Because we really want to get them either murdered by your dog, like killed by your dog, and then gone to jail with their corpse. Or we just want to imprison them in your basement. Like, this reminds me of, like, what was it? The People Under the Stairs, almost. It's like a vibe like that where we're like, we're just going to send people under the stairs and have them be stuck by animals. I'm like, what is even going on? It was wild. It was funny more than anything. And that's why I'm saying it's more of a Christmas-type vibe. Because, like, that just is
like,
silly.
Wouldn't you have it, if you're going to do that rig, that it would instantly, like, alert the police? You know?
It did. They showed up immediately.
Oh, okay. Then I'm wrong.
Well, because... Because remember, he had an alarm system that they showed with the MS-DOS computer fully hacking through, right? So we hacked through the alarm system, such a 90s thing where you're like, oh yeah, computer equals, you know, breakthrough of an alarm system. So they hacked the computer system. Then they're inside the computer system to get rid of the alarm. They turn off the alarm. He goes inside. He still has all the lights on, does all the things he needs to do, takes everything until he takes that ring. But obviously... he couldn't find that in his MS-DOS system. It's a super secret thing in the safe. Like, it just didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
this entire movie is predicated on his partner, who's supposed to be the wheelman, leaving him and then having to secure transportation, which Dennis Leary is conveniently able to find him at a bar drinking on Christmas because he asks Kevin Spacey's character. He asks them, where would, a drunk guy go? They find him there. Then he gets on a boat, which when they leave on the boat at the end, by the way, he's now got like his partner has like a girlfriend that now we're just supposed to believe that the girlfriend who's hard up for cash is not going to turn them in for the $200,000 reward. Like, we're supposed to believe
maybe
that.
She doesn't know she's on a boat. It's not, she doesn't have internet on her phone. This is 1994.
Okay. And within an hour, he fixes the boat. Remember, he's like, oh, I need like an hour to fix the boat. He doesn't know how to fix a boat. He drives cars.
Apparently, he does know how to fix a boat, Pat. You don't know that man's life. You don't know what he's been through.
I digress.
Jen, he's lived a whole life before this movie happened.
Tell me some thoughts. Tell me some of your thoughts.
Yeah, so I've seen bits and pieces of this when I was younger and had like no interest in watching it. And then I actually thought it was pretty funny. I don't know. I laughed. Like, they're arguing. Like, it's pretty funny.
I mean,
the horrible mother-in-law is funny. Like, there are certain parts of this movie that I thought
the was horrible mother-in-law is really funny. I think the one thing about the movie is that, like, I just feel like somehow Dennis Leary, who's like, we just watched him in Demolition Man a couple months ago. He's in a bunch of different movies, obviously, in the 90s, because this is when he's kind of like has that run at like being, let's say, like a movie star. He just like doesn't, I feel like he doesn't have enough rants, which is kind of what he's known for in this movie.
Oh, that's so funny, because I felt like he had a lot of rants, and I thought his I thought this role was perfect for him. I mean, maybe we should just say this movie is just basically he holds up.
Oh, he holds up fine.
No, like he just holds this whole family up for on Christmas Eve.
100%.
Yeah, and just ties them up. Well, and the husband and wife just fight the whole time.
Well, they fight the whole time, and they fight so much that he doesn't want to deal with them, which is why he's called the ref. The marriage counselor doesn't want to deal with them. The police officers at the end, when they come in and say, oh, we're the only ones tied up in the house, blah, 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 blah. So, like, at the end of the movie, they decide, after Kevin Spacey stands up to his evil mom who's paying off his house and gives him a job at an antique store, and he's living in a beautiful Connecticut mansion.
I don't know, his mom seems pretty horrible. These things don't seem to make it worth it.
They might not seem to make it worth it in one sense, but in the other sense, like, it's totally privileged to like live in this entire like community. Like, I feel
sure,
like
but
a lot
I,
of other people
I
would
be
the
miserable
shit,
you know? If I was in this situation too. I get it.
Well, yeah, you're relating to, but see, the best part about the movie though is that, like, they're really going out of their way to make you feel bad for Judy Davis's character, Carrie, right? You said Carrie is her name, too?
Caroline. Kind of, but also, like,
but she did cheat on him.
Yeah, no, she, like, I feel like neither character is actually,
well, he's a mama's boy. And
good.
She cheated, like, on him, yeah.
Well, she didn't just cheat on him, she just
no, but she did. And then they
all, no, I know, but there's a lot other, there's a lot going on.
But and then they all consistently come at him.
I guess I would side with her over him, but also it's hard because it's Kevin Spacey and he is like,
just avoid yourself.
It's hard. I can't.
Just look at the movie for what it is on the, you know, and that was kind of part of the problem when we were picking the movie. We were looking for the movie. Like, it wasn't on Apple, probably because it was Kevin Spacey.
Which sucks for the other actors and people involved in making the movie, but also like, ugh. But
well, there's nothing you can really do, because how do you,
so you related to him and I was relating to her, but I'm also like,
it's not that I related to him,
like, her Scandinavian thing with the hats, with the crowns, with the candle.
So there's a scene where all at a Christmas table and she's making them all wear like candles that are actually all lit in like a Scandinavian crown, talking about like you know, the pagan crown findings of Christmas. No, what it was is, it's not that I related to Kevin Spacey's character per se. Now, and let's go back one second. So, when I first kind of saw this movie or whatever it was, you're seeing this like fighting married couple and you're not really understanding, or at least I wasn't, let's say 14, 15, 16.
Yeah, it wasn't
the struggles
for
of like a married couple, right? And how like things could, you can get in a rut, you can have whatever. You're not understanding that and the dynamics of a long-term relationship, because their relationship is longer than I was alive, right? So at that point, like,
yeah,
I can't imagine, right?
Yeah.
Those only relationships you have at that age is your parents, right? Or siblings and cousins. So you think, you know, even if you tried to be on a next level thinker and be like, hey, these relationships have changed, like, how about this, right? So it's not that I felt for him. It's more that I was like, when he's giving his speech to his mom and giving the speech to her, and he's just kind of like, well, you kind of wanted to do this and made me not, like, you didn't want to make decisions and you kind of put us here and then we're here and then, like, I'm doing what I can do, but just, like, going along with the motions. You kind of felt that, like, his character never really had a lot of agency. And so that's probably why he was okay getting cucked. I mean, that's the only thing I could think of, right? Because it's just like, they just all always circle back. Because you do really feel bad for her character. You feel like she's trapped. And she said multiple times, like, I'll leave, I'll get an apartment, like, I don't want any money, blah, blah, blah. Whether or not that's all real or not, we don't really know because it's fictional characters. But you also kind of feel too, it's like, yeah, but you did cheat on him. And, like, they all bring it back at her and they all throw it at her. Like, the mom throws it at her, which is, like, funny because it's like, the mom's like, well, I mean, you had to talk to somebody about it. So you could tell, like, they all, like, hate each other at this table. Meanwhile, there's Dennis Leary, who's pretending to be, like, the therapist because that's what he had to pretend to be because he doesn't want to let anyone know that he's actually a cat burglar that's on the run, that they're going house to house searching houses. Like, it's such a either Christmas slash just, like, white privileged neighborhood trope to be, like, you're going to let someone search your house. You're going to let all the local police search your house.
There's a curfew. Like, that's, like,
this isn't Scream. Like, it's not Scream. There's not a killer on the loose, but I get it. But there's a curfew on Christmas Eve. And but then you're going to let the cops come in and search your house. Like, it's such a weird vibe. It's either super, 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 like, this privileged kind of neighborhood where it's privileged cops, or it's just, like, very small town. But, like, I'm not letting the cops search my house, like, at all. You can't come in my house at all. I don't care if there's a cat burglar. He's not here, right? Like, go away. They're just like, nah, come on in. Look all around. Even though he's there, right? He's literally there in their house multiple times. So it's very silly. I give it a pass because it would I have given it a pass in March if I saw it in March of 93, if I'm this age, or 94, if I'm this age? No. Because I'd be like, put this movie out in November.
When you say this age, do you mean the age you are now, or the age you were in? Okay.
Mm-hmm. If I'm in, you know, late 30s, early 40s watching this movie, I'll give it a pass.
Yeah, I just think
in November. I'm not going to give it a pass in March. Like, put this out at Christmas time. I don't know why it didn't come out at Christmas. It doesn't make sense.
Like, I think for us, there's just nothing, like, I don't know, for, like, kids, there's nothing funny about adults just fighting about bullshit. Like, it's kind of just actually stressful. But it was really funny.
People talking, as an adult, especially this level. It's funny with this movie because I feel like this movie, if it came, the same concept came out 15 years later, I think it probably would have done really, really well. Because I think that we as a culture where we were with comedy, as we talk about some of the movies like Ace Ventura came out and, you know, all these a bunch of Adam Sandler movies are going to start coming out. We're really still in a slapstick era, I think. And this, like, bantering and fast talking. And, like, even, like, with Four Weddings and a Funeral, like you were mentioning, like, The Office and stuff, like, those things aren't here yet. And I feel like the more subtle humor and the more people's reactions and people talking is what ends up happening in, like, the early 2000s and, like, beyond, right? I feel like it's more about talking than it is about, like, set pieces. Like, I think of, like I said, like, let's say an Ace Ventura that we talked about that just came out. That's just constant. You're getting berated by Jim Carrey's comedy. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is slapsticky. And a lot of it is, like, you know, like, The Mask is going to come out. All these other movies. And that's the stuff that, you know, I saw as a kid. I saw in the movie theater, right? And I liked it. But all that stuff is different than this. This is people talking. And you find the humor in what they're saying and their tone and their delivery and their inflection, right? And, you know, I'm going to drag your, you know, drag the old lady by drag her behind the car, and then she's coming back with witty stuff over the top. And that's just not something that I wouldn't say you're necessarily used to yet, right? This is kind of like the beginning of that for movies and TV, at least in this era, right?
Yeah.
You know, even Reality Bites, it's more about the setups than it was, you know, when it was funny, than it was actually, like, the banter. This was just people in a house for the most part. Once he gets to the house, they're just all kind of stuck in the house, and there's, like, an hour spent in that house of just funny setups and funny scenes. But not a lot of, like, you know, it's not Home Alone. It's not people getting hit in the head with stuff.
No.
You know?
No, and I think you kind of rooting for Dennis Leary's character to get away.
Because, like, this family's the worst. You're like, somehow I want you to
get
caught.
And also, he doesn't actually, like, hurt anybody. So you're kind of like, whatever.
He's just like, I just want to get out of here.
He doesn't even hurt the dog that bites him.
No, he doesn't. And
I was like, the second we saw that dog, I'm like, if his dog gets hurt, I'm going to be so pissed that we watch this movie.
And I immediately thought the dog died because he throws a pool ball at him. But the dog is so strong, he just eats the pool ball. It was ridiculous. But, Jen, anything else you want to add to your watch? I mean, it was tough. The Kevin Spacey of it all was a little tough.
Yeah. But I can't, I don't know. I just can't never watch movies that bad people are in because then, like, you know. It's just so many, right?
Yeah.
Also, like, I feel like this movie was more about, like, I don't know. I mean, he was obviously a big player in it, but I liked this more than I thought I was going to.
Yeah.
Did I love it? No. Would I watch it again? Yeah. It was funny.
I enjoyed it. It was fun. And I think the main thing, you know, I was just reading that, you know, Dennis Leary was kind of saying that they just, you know, didn't really promote the movie well, and I don't remember hearing anything about it. I've seen it, and I'm like, it's good, especially.
It just feels like it's always just kind of existed in the background.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I feel like it's good. I mean, I'm not saying I'm going to add it to the Christmas rotation, but I'm saying it's definitely possible.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, just if it's on somewhere or something, like I'm not going to pay for it again, or if I find it very cheap in the wild on a DVD or something, I would be like, oh, okay. Just because it definitely is a Christmas movie. It takes place on Christmas Eve. It's got, It's a Wonderful Life in it.
My So-Called Life. There's people opening presents. There's
The whole family's Matt coming King down Cole. Because it's Christmas. It's like everybody's, you know, stuck at home.
It's just amazing how much everybody hates each other. And like,
and sometimes that's Christmas, right? Sometimes people just hate each other for, you know, maybe 10 years earlier, this family doesn't hate each other at this level, but just all the things that have gone on and this poor burglar gets stuck in the middle, right?
Yep.
So next month, I think we're going to do, you know, I think we're going to do a couple movies here as we always do. It's a little bit bleaker, a little bit leaner, but I think we're going to do With Honors and PCU, which come out next month.
I've never seen PCU.
I don't think PCU is going to age well at all.
I know it doesn't, and I've never seen it. And I already am just like, that'll be fun to talk about. I mean, these two movies, I'm sure there are definitely words and lines in both movies that don't really age too well, but nothing like what PCU is gonna be.
No, I think PCU is really gonna be.
And With Honors, I don't really remember any of the meat of that movie, but I know the gist and how it ends. Have you seen that movie?
I have. I don't really recall it though.
Okay, because I was gonna there say was a if whole... you want to guess that, because we haven't done guesses yet. You can guess With Honors, and I could guess PCU.
I think With Honors, I think Joe Pesci is like helping. Is it Brendan Fraser's character? Brendan Fraser in that movie?
He is.
So I think he's like helping him with school in some way, helping him with school learning. It's a learning element.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's helping him with school, and I think Joe Pesci's character dies at the end. That's what I think. So that Brendan Fraser can graduate with honors, right? From school. That's what I think. But I could be wrong. I will be wrong when I watch. What do you think PCU is about?
Well, I don't know if you're really necessarily wrong. I think there's just some details that you're not.
Well, I think I'm getting like a 4 out of 4 to 5. What is PCU about, Jen?
It's about college.
Okay.
PC University.
Okay.
Public College University.
Okay.
PC. It's about college. It's about boys sleeping with girls. Lots of drinking, lots of naked people.
I don't remember it either, so I'm going to come over the top and I'm just going to say.
Someone is going to graduate, but then he's not because he's failing. And then somehow something happens and he doesn't fail. And then he does graduate. And then he realizes, then he gets the girl.
I feel like these movies, they all come along like once in a generation. Right?
A generation.
once in a decade. And I feel like this is like the 90s. Version of like old school or Van Wilder in the early 2000s, late 90s. Like, I feel like they all kind of come along where they're like, okay, we're going to target this to a very specific audience. So we're going to be as raunchy or as loud as whatever as we want and just kind of like tailor it that way. And I think that's what this one is going to be. And I mentioned old school with it. And it's the first thing that always comes to mind because it stars Jeremy Piven. And oh, so,
Jeremy Piven's in this?
Right.
I don't know about any. I don't know who's in it at all.
So then obviously old school, right, you know, flash forward 25 years later, it's almost like, oh, his character's now.
Oh, these
now
are both the college chancellor. Movies, though. Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah. So it's going to be college.
Now, I know the vibe of With Honors is more serious.
Very serious.
Yeah.
I know that. I know it's very serious, whereas this
is
not.
Who else is in it? Do I know any of these people?
With Honors or PCU? PCU's Moira, got John Favreau.
Moira Kelly's in it. Patrick Dempsey.
Are you talking about
I'm talking Josh Hamilton. I'm talking about With Honors.
Oh, With Honors. Yeah, this is like, yeah, that's like a real, you know, tearjerker movie, I believe.
Yes, it is definitely a tearjerker movie.
Jen?
Jeremy Piven, Chris Young, and Megan Ward.
And John Favreau.
Oh.
And David Spade.
Oh.
You passed him.
I'm just reading the three that they gave me on IMDb.
Oh, yeah.
Jeremy Piven. Yeah, okay, here we go. John Favreau. Mm-hmm. I don't see David Spade.
He's there.
Yep, there he is. There he is. All right. Yeah, Jake Busey. Is that like Gary Busey's?
Yeah, it's a Buse.
Brother?
I think it's his son. Jake Busey. I think it's his son. I think it's actually his son.
Okay, well, that's exciting. I'm excited about watching two college movies. I'm excited about both those movies. I'm excited to revisit With Honors because I watched that movie a lot when I was younger and I don't remember anything about it except for the big parts. I'm excited to watch PCU. And we should really, maybe we should write a list of all the things that wouldn't fly today in a movie.
We'll do that. I think that's a good idea. We'll talk about, we'll have a spring break episode where we'll talk about college.
Fun, spring break.
And what would get you canceled. So for now, we're going to get back into our Trivial Pursuit game.
Okay.
For those that are eagerly awaiting to find out the winner.
Well, there's not a winner yet. Pat has 3 of 6 pie pieces, right, and I have 2 of 6, which is more than anyone expected.
Jen, you have your roll. Let's go. Let's do this quick.
Okay, I can go to Wired, which is about technology, or I can go to Hanging, which is about hobbies. But
Hanging. Hanging, okay. Was it blue?
Blue.
This is the year is 1991. Who learned English just 2 years before her Oscar-winning Beauty and the Beast duet?
No, I don't know. Celine Dion?
It is Celine Dion.
Oh!
I was literally rolling, going to reach the dice.
Green or orange? Give me 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh. Give me orange. Trends.
What? This is still 91. What alternative rockers helped launch the first Lollapalooza as their goodbye concert tour?
Goodbye concert in 1991? Nirvana? No.
Jane's Addiction.
Ah, shit. Okay.
Do I have the brown pie piece?
Pat is on the brown pie piece. No, you don't have a brown pie piece.
Okay.
So why would you not get it now? And okay. We're in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
What famous writer of The Simpsons was tapped to host a network late night talk show?
Conan O'Brien.
All right. Pat just got a brown pie piece.
So what do I need? Blue now?
Go you have not, no, no, you need pink and orange.
Pink and orange. Okay, go towards blue.
All right, you're on an orange. We're still in 1993. Who was pictured on a Rolling Stone cover with boyfriend Renee Elizondo's hands covering her breasts?
Madonna.
Janet Jackson.
Ah, all right.
But now you see that cover, right? Now that
no.
I said that, I'm like, I see.
I don't recall that cover.
Pretty sure it's black and white.
Guys, as always, we've said a lot.
Guys.
We've said nothing.
Guys, listen.
We're going to be back in April to kick off our,
it is April.
But we're going to be back later this week to kick off our month of April 94 review. We're going to be doing some music.
Oh, it's going to be a sad month.
Why?
Kurt Cobain.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that during the potpourri section. During the
Yeah.
You know, we won't get into that too much in the music. But, I mean, we'll talk about it. But we'll be back. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe wherever you're listening. Like wherever you're listening. Rate wherever you're listening. Jen is officially starting up the Instagram, which is...
Starting it up. We've had it for a long time.
No, but you're starting to
get it from dormancy. I added a story the other day. We went treasure hunting in the streets, and you found 4 VHS tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it on our story. It's gone now because that was a few days ago. Maybe I'll make a post about all the VHS tapes you keep collecting. BLC underscore mixtapes. Is there an underscore? Maybe, maybe not. But either way, it's us. You can find us on Instagram. Our email is beckyleftthechat@gmail.com. And if you have any suggestions or want to say hi, we would love to talk to you, hear from you. Yeah, if you could find in your heart to just give us a rating, it is...
like and rate.
It is so helpful. And we love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll catch you
on the next one.
On the flippity flip.